Beloved congregation of the Lord, when we have a baptism service, then we witness the application of the sign and seal of God's covenant of grace. And we learn that it is our duty earnestly to beseech God for His grace that is promised to us in the sacraments. We need two great things for which we are to pray earnestly and urgently, humbly and constantly and faithfully to a covenant-keeping God. The first is the work of His Holy Spirit. And the other is the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Last time we had baptism, about 10 weeks ago, we focused on the Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 16, the first part. Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. And that wind blowing in Scripture is a type of the Holy Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see that especially in John chapter 3. We stressed at that time our great need for the Holy Spirit. Stressed it this morning too. That need has not become any less since the last time we had baptism. We need the Holy Spirit of purification, the Holy Spirit of converting sinners. We need the Holy Spirit that by His powerful work He would regenerate our hearts, that He would cause us to hate all sin and to have a true desire for upright holiness. We need the Holy Spirit to cause us to fear and to serve the Lord uprightly and faithfully, to make us His willing people. Thy people shall be willing in the day of Thy power. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. We need that Holy Spirit of enlightenment to drive away the thick dark clouds of darkness and ignorance and error, to restore among us a love for pure doctrine of the gospel, to return us to a true knowledge of God and a true knowledge of ourselves. We need the Holy Spirit's convicting and humbling and sanctifying work in our lives. That we may be, when we are chastised at times, to feel God's striking hand and be brought to sorrow and shame and remorse for our sins. We need the Holy Spirit of peace and comfort, who will enable us by a true faith to embrace and accept the promises of God's grace in Christ Jesus. That Holy Spirit who alone can give us a clear conscience from all the guilt that lies on our consciences. The Holy Spirit who applies the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to wash away all of our sins. Oh, we need this Holy Spirit of love and zeal to rekindle in our cold hearts a true love to God and to His honor, His truth, His service, His ordinances, to give us that true love for our neighbors. We need the Holy Spirit of fruitfulness to moisten our barren hearts with His influences, that we may be filled with all fruit and righteousness, that as it says in our text, our spices may flow out. We need the Holy Spirit to awake and to come. We need the Lord Jesus Christ to send Him from the Father into our hearts as He has promised. We need the Holy Spirit, beloved, in general, for the whole church, for church leaders, for office bearers, especially for pastors, because without the Holy Spirit, the Word is powerless. We need the Holy Spirit for all believers, for every one of our families, for our relatives, our children, our congregations. May the Lord God open our eyes to recognize our need, our desperate need today for the Holy Spirit. But also today, in connection with baptism, I want to consider together the end of verse 16 of Song of Solomon chapter 4. Where it says, let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. And there we have the church's prayer for Christ's blessed presence and for Christ's pleasant fruits. The church's prayer, first of all, for Christ's blessed presence. Notice with me what the church calls the Lord Jesus in the Song of Solomon, in our text. My beloved. What does that mean, my beloved? Husband, when you think of that little phrase, my beloved, that's your wife, right? The one you love. When a pastor addresses the church as beloved church of the Lord, it is because the Lord loves his church. But here, the church calls the Lord Jesus Christ my beloved, the one I love. May I ask you, dear believers, when's the last time you referred to the Lord Jesus Christ as my beloved, the one whom I love? Song of Solomon is just a short little book in the Bible. It's kind of puzzling for most people to read. But if you just think about this one little phrase, my beloved, 22 times the church calls him my beloved, the one whom I love. Why? Why does the bride call him this name? Well, to point out the close marriage relationship between Christ and his church. Christ is the bridegroom, and the church is the bride. And there is a great spiritual marriage covenant there exists between Christ and his bride. That's what Paul refers to in Ephesians chapter 5 when he says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The church calls Christ my beloved to express her pure love and affection for Christ as the one who possesses her heart completely. The church calls Christ beloved to confess her high esteem of him. She considers him more valuable than all else. She says in chapter 5, my beloved is the chiefest among 10,000s. She calls him my beloved to express her pleasure, her satisfaction with him. Yea, he is altogether lovely, she says. This is my beloved. And this is my friend. When's the last time, dear believer, that you thought of the Lord Jesus Christ and addressed him as such? He is my beloved. He is my friend. He is my friend. The church calls Jesus Christ my beloved to express that she is forsaking herself and the world and all the creatures for his sake. And only Christ is her beloved, her dear Lord, her bridegroom. The love of the church is the strongest, pure, and holy love. You know why? Because it is a love of God poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, Paul says in Romans 5, verse 5. She calls him my beloved, but what does she want of him? In our text, she says that he would come into his garden. This garden in Scripture is another name for the church. In Isaiah 51, verse 3, you read this, the Lord shall comfort Zion, that's his church. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. And that's what the bride is praying for here. Oh, Lord Jesus, come into your garden with joy to meet us here and stay with us and abide with us. Never forsake us. Because for the church, all her life and all her well-being and all her happiness depends on Christ's presence. His presence means everything to us. His presence with the Holy Spirit is blessing and love and light and grace and joy. Psalm 16, verse 11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. And the church realizes that. The only joy to be found is in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church puts His presence right alongside of the Holy Spirit's working. Because where the Holy Spirit is working, there Christ himself is present. Christ is never anywhere without his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is never anywhere without Christ present. He is called the Spirit of Christ in Romans 8, verse 19. The Spirit of Christ. Let my beloved come. Oh, that he would come into his garden. Oh, that he would come and be with us. That expresses an earnest, urgent, powerful desire for the presence of the Lord. And the greatness of her desire and her longing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, how restless the church is and dissatisfied without him. She can't stand missing him. And she expresses here her satisfaction when she may enjoy his presence once again and be near him. But why does she want him to come? Why does she want Christ's presence? That he may eat his pleasant fruits. Come into the garden, right? When we go into somebody's garden, there's things to eat there. That's what the church wants, Christ to come into our presence and to eat and to enjoy. What are these pleasant fruits? The word pleasant there in Hebrew means more precious or noble. So think of the fruits of the church, the fruits of faith, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The church bears fruit only when Christ is present and when the Holy Spirit works. And what is that fruit then? Sometimes people have all kinds of lists and all kinds of things that they think is the fruit of the Spirit. But really it's very simple. Just open your Bible to Galatians 5 verse 22 and there it is. These are the fruit. This is the fruit that Christ is coming to enjoy, to eat. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. That's what Christ is coming to look for. That's what he's coming to eat, in other words, to enjoy. And here they're called pleasant fruits. Fruits to God's glory, fruit to God's honor, noble fruits. They are godly fruits, spiritual fruits, heavenly fruits. In contrast with the fruit of this world and of ourselves and the devil. And the bride calls them Christ's fruits, his pleasant fruits. Because they're all brought forth by the work of the Holy Spirit. They are all works of faith, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let him eat his pleasant fruits. Let Christ find his church so fruitful, as if he were always with her, as if he'd never been gone. That he will provide her good works, virtues, and fruit, and that he will prove them and test them and find them to be real and pleasant and approve of them. That they would be to his satisfaction and to his enjoyment in the garden of the church. So that he would gladden himself in and with his church and be happy with his church. Dear believers, sometimes we lose sight of this. God has great joy in you. He rejoices in you, in his people, through Christ. Zephaniah 3 verse 7 says, the Lord thy God is in the midst of thee. He is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. That's not all. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. That means that God Almighty, dear believers, is rejoicing over you with joy unspeakable. You say, how can that be? He knows what wickedness still lives in me, but he sees you in Christ. He rejoices over you with joy, and he joys over you with singing. He's singing with joy. when he comes into his garden. Let him eat his pleasant fruits. Do you know that all the fruits in a believer's life is Christ's own fruit? The prophet Hosea writes that the Lord says, from me is your fruit found. Comes from me, says God, to his people. The church has no fruit of its own. It is Christ's own fruit. Let him eat his pleasant fruits. The Bible that eating there is together, eating together in covenant relationship. See that often, they have these meals of covenant fellowship. And we want the Lord Jesus Christ to come and to fellowship with us and eat of his pleasant fruits, not only when the Lord's Supper is administered, but also when baptism is administered. He may come this afternoon and joy over us with singing. I stand at the door, he says, and I knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and I will have supper with him and he with me. Let him come and eat his pleasant fruits. What does that say to us? Also this afternoon, we need the Lord Jesus Christ to come through his word and through the sacrament. Blessed by the Holy Spirit to reveal himself to us afresh, that we may see again something of his beauty, that we may be reunited with him and live with him in faith fellowship, that we may embrace him afresh as our beloved one and walk before him in tender carefulness. We need him to come, so that he himself will look upon us through Christ. And he himself will restore us when we have sinned again. That he will restore us into a right relationship with him when we have been backsliding. That he will draw us again irresistibly to himself through his word and Holy Spirit. Oh, we need him to come and live with us again. And to dwell among us and to walk among us still, to take his delight in us and so to eat his pleasant fruits. You say, what in the world does all that have to do with baptism? It has everything to do with baptism. Parents, we don't know how long we're going to have our children under our roof. In our homes. Most times it's about 20 years, most times, before they get married or move out. But we've seen it now recently, up close, 2 years, 4 years, that little girl in Alberta. We don't know how long we have them. We don't know how long we have to teach them. And you think now of baptism as a sign and a seal of the covenant of grace. How urgent it then becomes to teach our covenant children that Christ wants to even the most sinful people to seek him and to find him for the salvation of their souls. That we teach our children that his promise is sure. I love them that love me, and those who seek me early shall find me. And the word early there in Proverbs 8 verse 17 means as a first priority. That your children may have that as the most important thing in their lives, to seek the Lord. And parents, let us teach our baptized children that the Lord Jesus Christ is almighty. To send his Holy Spirit where things are the worst. And just as he commands the winds in nature, so he commands his Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit goes out and he restores fallen ones and he makes them fruitful. Let us teach our baptized children that Christ is needed most by those who have sinned the most and who have wandered furthest from him. And that they need Christ to turn them and that will never happen without the Holy Spirit and the Holy Word of God. Let us teach our covenant children that there are plenty of promises in the Holy Gospel for sinners such as they are. If they will come and plead those promises and wait humbly for their fulfillment, let us teach our baptized children that this prayer of our text, of the church for the Holy Spirit and for Christ, is written in God's Word so that we would also pray it. It's written there that we would have it imprinted on our hearts and memorize it and pray it back to the Lord God. Let nothing turn us away from this prayer. Not the greatness of the fall, as we heard this morning, nor our sins as parents. Christ is the great physician. He can heal all our diseases. Do not let our hopelessness prevent us from praying this prayer. Do not let our failures as parents hinder us from praying such prayers. We don't plead on our faithfulness. We plead on Christ's covenant faithfulness. In baptism, the Lord comes and he says, "This child belongs to me. I place my name on her today." And then Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them. Let them come with this prayer on their lips." Now, children of the congregation, seek the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. Pray without ceasing, even this prayer of the bride. Even if you don't understand everything exactly what it means, you say, "Lord, it says it in your word. And so I will pray it." And do not doubt the power and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how bad you have become or how miserable you are, sometimes maybe you won't even be able to pray, but then you can always sigh to the Lord. Isn't that true, dear believers, that sometimes that's all we can bring forth is a big sigh to the Lord? But he hears that too. Wait on the Spirit of prayer. The Lord has promised he will pour him out on his people, the spirit of prayer and of supplication. And the Lord is faithful and true. Children, he cannot lie, and he will not lie. Believe that. And see what happens. See what happens when we pray the word of God back to him. When we pray, "Let my beloved come into his garden. Let him eat his pleasant fruit." You know what happens? He comes. How do you know that? You say, well, just read on. Then the very next verse, chapter 5, verse 1. "I have come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I've gathered my myrrh with my spice. I've eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I've drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink. Yea, drink abundantly, O beloved." So first we have the church calling the Lord Jesus Christ my beloved and my friend. And when the Lord Jesus comes into his garden and he comes to eat of his pleasant fruits, what does he say? "Eat, O friends." Then he wants us to eat, to enjoy his pleasant fruits. "Drink abundantly, O beloved, of my grace. Come to the wells of grace." Oh, let us then, as covenant parents, with our covenant children, diligently use the means of grace that God himself has instituted, the preaching of the word and the administration of the sacraments, pleading the Lord's promises to bless these means. And let us often pray with the bride of the Song of Solomon, let my beloved come into his garden. Let him eat his pleasant fruits. Amen.